Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives. Tonight we have Marianne co-hosting with me.
Hi, everyone.
And this is Carrie and our friend Rose. She is call screening. So if you call in to talk to Patsy, you'll be talking to Rose. And our calling number is 914-338-1239. Press 1 to talk to Patsy or press 2 if you just want to listen on your phone. And
okay,
we'd like to welcome Patsy here. Hi, Patsy.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. You're one of our favorite guests.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then I'll try to sound good then.
I was so happy watching Days this week that you and Charlie got the kiss. Because there was
Wasn't so much fun.
Yes. Yeah, I was expecting that. You know, it didn't seem like they, you know, it's hard. It's so ambiguous what their relationship is right now. I didn't know if they were in the kissy stage or not.
Well, what was funny, I don't know if anybody noticed, but I asked wardrobe if I was supposed to wear a wedding ring, and they said no. But if you look in the hugs over Teresa, Charlie's got on his wedding ring. I don't have on one, and he introduced Kimberly as his wife. So I think it's vague. I don't know if anybody knows what their relationship is right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I kind of assumed they were married.
We don't know.
Well, yeah.
I was told, I asked if I was supposed to wear a wedding ring. They went and they checked. They came back and they said no. So either they're married and not supposed to be wearing wedding rings, which would be odd. Maybe their wedding rings got lost with the cameo. I don't know. They seem to have a problem keeping jewelry. So they very well could be married and not have wedding rings.
The last time you were on together, it was a makeup scene. I mean, at the end there, you guys made up and went on back to California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just assumed you were married again and
yeah,
everything
or at least
fine.
Together, if not married.
Yeah, at least together, if not married.
Yeah.
Well, on soaps.
Well, that's what we think, anyway.
Okay. Well, who knows? Who knows?
It didn't get edited out this time, so I'm very thankful. I had fans tweeting saying, I've been waiting 17 years for Shane and Kim to kiss. So that meant a lot for a lot of fans.
Actually, I think one fan told me it's 23.
Wow.
There are people that can, I mean, they're like historians. They're like Days of Our Lives historians, and they can tell you exactly what happened then. And they'll give you the episode number, too. There's some real smart cookies out there. Three people have written me and said it took 23 years, because I thought it was like over 20, but they said no, it was 23 to be exact. So maybe there's some people that have found their other kisses that were sooner than that, but so far, yeah, it was that's a long time between smackaroos.
Yeah, and Kim has had a husband around that time too. In that time, she had an off-screen husband and an off-screen divorce and. So she was getting smackaroos from somebody. It just wasn't Shane. It just seemed odd. She just kind of mentioned, oh, yeah, I'm married to some guy. And then next time you came back, they're like, oh, yeah, we got divorced. And, you know, who was that guy?
Well, it's Philip.
Oh, Philip.
I remember him.
Oh.
That's who they're talking about. Richard Berge, who wasn't some guy. It was a character. I had a whole storyline with Philip.
Oh. Well, Richard Berge, he aged well. Did you see him on Desperate Housewives?
Yeah,
he's
a years
ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, he was very undressed on that show. He was looking really good.
I'll be honest with you. I really don't discuss other actors' age or how they look age-wise. Mm-hmm. I think their work speaks for itself. I think their work is the only thing I should be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he's
and he
fine,
was great on that show.
Fine actor. Yeah, mm-hmm. and he's a wonderful human being, too. We were great, great friends.
Oh. I'm sorry, I totally blanked on that couple. I don't remember him at all, which is really weird. I've seen him on a ton of different shows. I do not remember him on Days. I'm going to have to look that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, there will be some fans that will call in, and they'll probably fill in the whole story.
A lot of the fans were wondering, did the writers wrote in the kiss, or was that a suggestion on your part or Charlie's part?
No, the writers are in charge of the entire story.
Okay. All right, let's take a caller. I'm going to bring on Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Oh. How are you?
Hi,
can
Tracy.
You hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can. I don't know, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I actually have somebody here that really wants to speak to you. And
really?
It's Brianna.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're Tracy.
Hi.
Tracy. Why didn't you, from West by God, Virginia. Why didn't you say so, Tracy? Why don't you name yourself? I can't see you.
Yeah,
damn,
that's me.
Brianna, my song girl. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I miss you on your karaoke videos. I do.
Thank you.
What's up with that? Where have you been?
Busy with school.
Okay. Well, and your mom tells me you're in a play.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to run in high heels?
Yeah.
Did you? you think I forget about that, huh?
She even got to slap a guy.
Yeah.
You got to slap somebody and run in high heels?
Yeah.
Well, I say you had a successful year so far.
You learned how to run in high heels? Yeah. Oh, it was nice to see you back on Days this week.
Well, it was nice to be back. You know, it went by really quick, didn't it?
Yeah, a little too quick, actually.
Yeah, I know.
I watched
well,
one.
It was, what's that?
I watched half of it.
Oh, she got to watch you. On.
You only let her watch half of it?
Well, by the time she gets home from school, when that, it's usually only half.
Oh, there's only so much time a day. Well, you know. Maybe Mom, let the kid watch the other half of the show.
I'll let her watch all of them. She's stupid.
You're a good actor.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, you know, you and your mom make the cutest videos for SingSnap, a karaoke site we all go to, and Brianna and her mom, Tracy, have some really slamming karaoke videos.
Oh, geez. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're like two goofballs.
That frog.
And the frog, yeah, I remember the frog. That was
on there. It's going to be a dolphin.
Well, then, you know, would you let me know, please, when this dolphin makes its appearance?
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
You owe me some songs.
Okay. We'll do that. So, well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. It was nice talking to you.
It was nice talking to you, Tracy, from West by God, Virginia.
Yep. Almost heaven.
Nice talking
Almost.
To you.
Nice talking to you, Brianna. Take care, sweetie pie. Do good in school, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, girls.
So I was looking at your Facebook page. You're now in Jacksonville?
Yes, I am. Yes, Jacksonville.
Oh. What made you decide to move there?
My three grown sons are here.
Oh.
My family is on the East Coast. I was born in North Carolina, so that's pretty much, I don't have any family at all in California. So the holidays mm-hmm. would be pretty bleak, you know.
Yeah. Yes, I think the last time we talked to you, you were in North Carolina.
That's right. Yeah, I've been moving around. Yeah, like a moving target. If you're a moving target, it's really hard to hit you. So nobody's hit me.
Jennifer, Jen Lilly, last 2 weeks at least, she's just constantly praising you and Charlie and how much she wants you guys to back on the show. She just adores you guys and posting pictures and everything. We were wondering how you liked working with Jen.
I could scoop her up with a spoon if she were vanilla ice cream. If I had a daughter, oh, my God, she'd be my pick.
Aww.
No doubt. But, you know, she's old school. I tell you, a lot of new actors don't do the kind of research and have the commitment. The time and effort that she put into finding out about the character's history and the history of their relationship was phenomenal. And that's old school. Charlie and I come from the stage where we're used to doing, you know, a lot of the footwork, the prep work. But it's not done a lot these days anymore. So it was surprising to us that, you know, Jen Lilly is old school acting. She's mm-hmm. just downright solid actress, solid. And for somebody that young, it's rare. It's rare anymore. So it was thrilling to be with someone who has that kind of commitment and passion. She has a great passion for the art.
Yes, I remember when I interviewed her, she thoroughly went through all the history of Kim and Shane and Jeannie, and she knew, like, all your storylines, and I think people sent her YouTube clips, and, oh, yeah, you guys made her a fan, that's for sure.
Well, she, you know, I think that's her work ethic, that's who she is. She's mm-hmm. got that innate tackle something and, you know, learn everything you can about it so you can be the best you possibly can be. That's just part of her. I mean, I think she would mm-hmm. be that way if she were an Olympic athlete, which
right.
she took her work ethic she does on days and she did it into athletics, she'd be an Olympian.
Yeah. Oh, I really definitely. Enjoyed both of your scenes that you had together. Oh. It was like you worked with each other before. You know, you seem to know each other. You know that she, like you said, she knew the character well, and it you know what, and it came off, and the chemistry between the two of you.
Yeah, she, and you know, mm-hmm. you can't do that if you walk in and somebody goes, so were we with a dad or without a dad, and you went
right.
through what, and you can't, and it's going so fast, you don't have time. Any time you talk to each other, it's running lines. That's mm-hmm. about all you have time to do. That is your conversation. Hi, how are you? Get into the scene. So there's not a lot of catch-up. She did all that beforehand. She paved the road. So all I had to do, she made it easy for me. All I had to do was step into the scene, and she was there. So I don't think you get that kind of treatment from a lot of craftsmen anymore, but I was so lucky. I was so lucky. And something I've seen her in the Book of Esther, the movie she did with Cleo Pinglay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw
there
that.
Was something about her that was like, I don't know, it was like a 1940s quality actress, like a real classic, like movie star actor. Mm-hmm. And she had that kind of star appeal. She's got that it quality. And I thought, you know, wow, it's going to be fascinating working with somebody like that because she's generating something. And I don't know if she's even aware of it, but it was the same as when I got on the stage. She innately knows the craft, and her instincts are right on.
Yes, you're talking about the acting and taping. How far in advance did you get your script before you taped your episode?
Not mine. I think it was a few days before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, they had to ship line cross country. It's not like when I was in L.A. and they have somebody get in a car and run down the street and give you your script. So it wasn't like it was on Pony Express, but it was a little bit more effort for days than it has been for 28 years.
Okay, and I'm going to bring on Jennifer, but she has to leave soon. Jennifer, you're on with Patsy.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to talk to you. I enjoyed all of your scenes this week. You were amazing. And I just appreciate all the hard work that you put into it. And you just – everything feels so real with you. And I'm just such a fan, and I wanted you to know that.
Well, you know, that just I tell you, Jennifer, sometimes I forget being – you know, I don't live in a real film or television-oriented celebrity town. You know, I kind of live out there amongst them. You know, this is a military town. And I'm
right.
so far away from any kind of connection to that world that, you know, when I hear things like that, it really touches me. So from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you, because it's hard to remember you're an artist in this community.
Mm.
I'm not complaining. It's a great place. I love the people and everything, but it's not – I wouldn't say this is Celebrity Central.
Exactly. I understand. I do have one question.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you are tremendous at playing all of the different types of scenes, but I was wondering if you have a favorite type to play, like emotional scenes or comedy or love scenes or scenes with action, if you enjoy one over any of the other types.
Very good question. Wow, that's an exciting question. Personally, I got to tell you, I can only answer where I am today. I would have probably answered that in different ways at different times. You know, there have probably been periods when I've gone through when, you know, I like the emotional scenes. I like the reminiscent scenes where you're pulling, you know, the truth out from somebody, kind of
right.
cross-examining. I would have had different answers at different times. But where I am today, you know, the 9 years I was on contract with Dave, I spent 9 years crying. So I got to tell you, at this point in my life, I like a good dose of slapstick, I'll tell you.
Well, that's the nice thing about Days, though. I mean, I felt like you and Charlie incorporated comedy into your scenes,
mm-hmm.
Even if it wasn't necessarily written that way, you all tried to put your
yeah.
own lightness in it. And I just appreciate all of the little things that you guys did. I mean...
Well,
I noticed
you know,
them. I did, and you guys just really spoke to me as a youth, and I just that is watching you guys helps me figure out what I wanted in a marital relationship, because my family I wasn't abused or anything like that, but my parents did not have a good relationship, and I did not have that modeled for me in my home, and so it was so cool to see that and think, I want that. I want that kind of friendship that,
mm-hmm.
you know, is also romantic and everything else, and I have my
mm-hmm.
happy ending, I think, because of you too, so thank you.
Well, you know, you're welcome, and I can piggyback right on what you're saying. Actually, Kimberly and Shane model a relationship for me because, you know, I've struck out on the marriage deal. I mean, I do a lot of things real well. That's just not one of them. But they model. They're what I aspire. I'm actually playing the lady I aspire to be. How's that? Is that something?
That's perfect.
I think, you know, sometimes God takes care of idiots, drunkards, and ignoramuses, and I've been all three. And his way of taking care of me is I'm actually allowed to play my hero.
Aww.
And I feel like I get closer to being what I want to be every time I step in Kimberly's shoes. That makes sense?
I love that. That makes so much sense. And I just
so I
want to say bless you.
What's that?
I said I just want to say bless you and thank you for all that you bring to that role and what you give to others that watch.
Thank you, Jen. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank
and,
you so much.
You guys have a good night. Thanks for allowing me to butt in.
Sure.
You're not butting in. Have a good night, too. Thank you.
Jennifer. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jennifer. Bye. I was going to say, when it comes to mirrors and soaps, what I learned is what not to do from watching soaps, which is like, don't lie.
You know, they say there are two paths to enlightenment. One is you just all of a sudden feel this great amount of, you're just struck with love. The other, that wasn't my path, obviously. The other is learning everything love isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can learn about love either way. Be struck dumb with it or learn everything it isn't. The soaps will give you a good idea of everything it isn't.
Yeah, just soaps. I mean, it kind of cracks me up. People think it corrupts people, but that's probably more back in 20, 30 years ago, people probably thought that. To me, it just, it was the opposite. It's like, well, I'm not going to do that. That didn't work out too well for her. You know what I mean? It was learning by bad examples. So.
They've got that too. You know, I think it depends on what you're looking for. I have a philosophy. Mm-hmm. I always find exactly what I'm looking for. So, if I'm looking for a mess, I'll find a mess. If I'm looking for answers, mm-hmm. I'll find answers. Mm-hmm. But I can't act surprised when a mess pops up in my face, because if I'm honest about it, that's really what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Same way as a solution and beauty. On some level, what comes up in front of me, I'm looking for. So I can watch it. And I watch things from different perspectives, but then I'm getting bothered and kind of uncomfortable. I go, well, what are you looking for?
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's something to think about. I like that. I'm going to bring on Mary. She's been waiting for a while. Mary?
Hi.
No, it's Patsy.
Hi. Hi, Patsy.
Hi. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Just want you to know how much I love you.
I love you too, Mary. I'm so glad to finally hear your voice.
One day I'm going to meet you, sweetheart. One of these days I'm going to meet you.
I'm going to hold you to that, all right? We're going to have to make an arrangement.
Yeah, I'm not that far. I'm in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
You're not far away from me. You're right up the street, practically.
Yeah, I'd jump in my car and be there in, what, 5 hours?
Well, yeah, it just it will be like, yeah, a quick 5-hour trip for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. You may not want to answer this, but this is my question. I am campaigning like you would not believe to get you and Shane back on days. I know I can't do it alone. I can't do it alone, but I'm doing my part. If the deal was right, okay, would you come back?
Absolutely. And, you know, I found it possible because of technology and the way things have advanced with transportation. There are a lot of people that are not living in L.A., work in L.A.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because I thought that it would have, that's just, you're in Florida, that's just out of the question. But when I went back, I flew back to do a show, I talked to several actors in the cast who are living in the South and Midwest, and they commute. So it kind of disproved my theory of it's over once you move east.
You're wrong.
So, and you know what? How happy I am to be wrong, Mary. It gave me opportunities. You know, isn't it wonderful being wrong when opportunities open up for you?
God,
isn't that wonderful?
To have you back on a daily, or even every other day. You don't have to be there every day. But just to know that I have to look forward to say, okay, Kim's going to be there tomorrow.
Well, and now it's in answer to your question, yes, because it is possible. And again, you know, like I was talking about earlier to Marianne and Carrie and Rose, that it depends on what I'm looking for. If I'm looking for an answer to find a way to get back to that show, I'll find it. But it depends on what I'm looking for. So I have to make up my mind, if that's what
sure.
I want to do. That
it's got
to
be what's best for you.
Yeah, and then set out to say, and now I have an intention of finding a way to solve this. and it will come. It will happen.
Okay. I don't know what more to do. I'm tweeting NBC. I'm private messaging Greg. I put out an email to Sony.
I'm telling you, you know, if there's a war, I want to be in your trench.
You know, we need more soldiers, and I just don't know how to get them. We need more soldiers.
I tell you, Mary, I'm going to salute you. I'm going to call you General Mary.
Well, I'm not going to hold you any longer.
This is one way, is saying it on our show and, you know, get people to listen. So.
Yeah,
bring more people on. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine Shane coming back and getting the ISA back and getting Drake involved? And, oh, my God, bring back days like it used to be.
Well, I'm all for that. Those were exciting, extraordinary people. And, you know, and the Draker, you know, oh, my gosh. What a great, solid guy to work with. Not only that, he's just fun.
Drake is one of my all-time favorites. He is my all-time favorite, and Charlie's close right behind him.
Yeah. Well, he and Charlie together, I mean, the dynamic duo. They're loaded.
God, yes. Just go back to YouTube and take a look. My God.
There's proof, right?
Huh?
Charlie and Drake. I mean, outstanding, both of them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm just so enjoyed. Thank God for YouTube, because I can go back and I watch you anytime I want to. I'm going to let you go, because I know there's a lot of people who want to talk to you. I just, real quick, I'll try not to tear up, but I thank you for your story, because your story has helped me survive, and I thank you.
You know, that's probably made this whole phone call worthwhile, right? You just hit my heart so hard. I'm so happy. Thank you for calling and telling me that.
Yeah. Okay. No, I love you.
I love you too, Mary. Thank you for your help.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary.
Marianne, Carrie, Rose, do you have a virtual tissue? I need a Kleenex bad.
Oh, yeah.
Girls. I mean, this some calls. I mean, I'm telling you, this is.
That makes
it worth it,
doesn't it? When a fan thinks that much of you, that's so nice to hear.
I don't even know how to put into words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to express what that feels like. I wish you could feel what I feel right now, girls.
Wow.
Thank you for making this possible.
Anytime.
You girls are awesome. Thank you for this evening.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm crying, too.
I had a couple of questions, but after all that, they're totally opposite of the direction.
You know, we can go in all directions. No, please.
Okay, let's go to the opposite direction now for the virtual tissue. We'll go to the opposite direction. I wanted to know what one of your, I don't know if it's been asked yet because I've been call screening. This is Rose. I wanted to know what one of your favorite scenes was, and maybe what your favorite blooper would have been, or, you know, hoax that you guys have done to each other in days.
I think my favorite blooper shot was the time Charlie, Shane and Kimberly were having this lovely romantic champagne dinner. It was a private dinner, and there was this beautiful violin music playing. They're both dressed beautifully. The lighting was beautiful. Shane unpops the cork to the champagne. It flies up in the air and comes back down and hits Charlie on the head.
I think I've actually seen that on YouTube as a blooper. I'm going to have to find it and send you the link. I think I've seen that on YouTube.
That's
it
cost cool.
him. I mean, you could not have planned that. If that were an intended scene, we would have had to take it 25 times to get that the perfection of that cork hitting him spot down in the middle of the head. And his expression is what sold it.
Oh, wow.
If you find it, look for Charlie's expression. Charlie does comedy. Of course, you know, he does comedy like nobody's business. But I kind of got suspicious that he would be wonderful in comedy by watching some of the scenes where we messed up. The other thing was my mother's cock pot. I'm going to do a stew and my mother's crock pot was the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to do a stew and my mother's crock pot. That
yeah.
was a good one. His expression was, he was aghast. He was stunned.
Mm-hmm.
So those are favorite bloopers. The favorite scene, I think I like the paint fight scene. Shane was with Kayla at the time. Kimberly had moved out to an apartment. She was painting her apartment, and Shane came over, and they ended up in a paint fight.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good one. That was definitely good. And then what about, like, jokes you play on each other? We've heard a lot of people from different days, actors have said that they sometimes play pranks on each other.
I don't know if we ever were
the pranks just
prank-ish.
Happened by accident in the bloopers.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much enough for us. you know, we're doing the blind story, the cane buckling up and going out from underneath me. I mean, there was plenty of stuff that happened on stage. We didn't really have to work at it too hard off stage.
Okay.
Or, you know, doors not open. You do a very dramatic scene, and you're supposed to storm out, and the door's stuck. And that's pretty egg on the face right there. And you can see the wall shake, the fake wall shake, trying to open it. That's embarrassing.
Well, after all these bloopers you've been telling us, this is Rose. I'm gonna have to send you a link to the YouTube to actually show some of these bloopers you're talking about. It's funny. I've seen them on YouTube. So
I would love that, Rose. Thank you.
They're definitely
so
really
much.
Good. I'll send them to you on Facebook.
I really love because that's what I mean. And like I said, and we were on. Oh, this was embarrassing. We were on Hollywood Squares. And we'd never been on Hollywood Squares before, so we didn't know that the mics were live the entire time. That means that the mics are on. So when they're asking some of the other people, like Paul Lynde and the people beside Zsa Zsa Gabor, they're asking them questions. They're answering, but you can hear me and Charlie talking through the entire show. I mean, it's music, but you can hear, no, Loveless, don't. I mean, and it was like, it was so embarrassing. And I was like, why didn't somebody turn our mics off? And I think they were getting such a kick out of it in the production office. But anyway, yeah, we did that too when we went to London. We'd never been on location before, and folks were really new to both of us. We didn't know about mics being live. And we were walking around saying who knows what, and production crew was sitting in a truck laughing. So, yeah, we've learned our lesson about making sure your mic is off.
Yes. I tend to use mute a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a humbling experience.
I think there's other callers. Carrie?
Did you have more callers? Yeah, we can take another caller.
Okay. Carrie, are you there? Okay. Justin, you're online.
Hello?
Justin?
Hello, is that me?
Hi.
That's
yes,
you.
You're on. Yeah,
hi,
you're
how are you doing?
I'm good, Justin. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad to talk to you because I grew up watching you in the 80s, and I really liked you, so it's such a treat to talk to you one-on-one.
Oh, I'm so glad you called in. Hey, I hear an accent. Where are you from, Dustin?
I live in Atlanta.
See? You're right up the street, too.
Yeah, it's not far away. And I was saying in the chat room, you probably had to fly through Atlanta to go to L.A.
Exactly. I did. Sometimes Charlotte Douglas, but mostly Atlanta. Or as we call it, when I was living in Charlotte, we called Atlanta Hotlanta. Because everything's going on down
there. And I did post on your Facebook wall on Monday that, like I said, I grew up watching you in the 80s, and I wish you guys could come back full time. and you commented on my post, and that was really nice. That made me happy.
Well,
so,
your post made me happy.
Well, thank you. And I have two questions for you. My first
sure.
question is, do you get recognized in Jacksonville much when you go out in public?
No, for anybody under the age of 40 has no clue who I am. They were in preschool when Charlie and I had an heyday. They, you know, they were either being born or in kindergarten. So most of the people, oddly enough, are at the Mayo Clinic nurses, because the older nurses, when they're making the rounds, the patients always have daytime on. And so they get addicted to some of these shows. And so I've only been recognized by the medical profession.
Okay.
It rarely happens. It rarely happens.
And maybe, I guess, when you were on days, you probably got recognized a lot. And to me, that would get old because, you know, I don't want people stopping me and talking to me about my job everywhere I go.
Well, you know, it was funny because I wasn't prepared for that when I was on contract. And, you know, it's visible. Sure, got recognized. And you know, and a lot of times people, you're in the produce section of the grocery store and somebody comes up to you and tells you about their schizophrenic aunt and wants to know what to do about it. You know, and
oh, wow.
I play a therapist on TV, but I'm not one. In fact, my therapist is rolling on the floor still when I told her what I play on TV. She thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. They trust that role to me. So I said, lady, I really don't have any answers for you. Aren't the avocados looking well this season? So that happened at that time, but that's part of the season. I have to realize, because that lady watches, she's my employer, because it's a numbers game.
True.
And she's keeping my job. So when I'm representing when I walk out in public too, because I meet my employers.
Right.
So that's the way I looked at it. So yeah, I did have a conversation with her about her schizophrenic aunt, whether I knew anything about it or not, just to be respectful to the lady who helped pay for my rent.
Right. Well, the other question I have for you, and I have the same question of Peter Reckle when I talked to him a few weeks ago. Kim went through a lot when she was on the show. She had a bout mm-hmm. with blindness. She had multiple personalities. She dealt with Andrew's mm-hmm. paternity. Emma and Julian tried to break up Kim and Shane. I can go on
mm-hmm.
and on with what she went through. Do you have a favorite storyline that you remember?
Well, of course, the multiple storyline is any actor's dream, to be able to play variations, you know, to add, you know, a different character. Because when you get to be one character after a while, you want to kind of open up and expand and explore other possibilities of other characters. And when you give a multiple personality to the character you're playing, of course, you can explore those avenues within one character. So for an actor, that's like a feast. So that was my favorite.
Right.
Do you have a favorite?
Claire.
Yeah. The good girls. Those sweet little sweetie pies. They were just baby little angels, weren't they?
Yes. Oh, sure. And I remember I liked it when Kim had to sleep with Victor to save Shane's life. I believe that was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't know who Andrew's father was, and I believe Emma switched paternity test results.
You know, Jane Windsor is such a friend of mine, and we would be hysterical with laughter. We find out what nasty thing Emma had done, because she really did these evil things to poor Kimberly. And Jane, who played Emma, would her pet name for me was Crumbly, because Kimberly was always falling apart.
Oh, yes,
oh.
Always crying. Mm-hmm. Do you still talk to anybody from the show? Do you keep in touch?
I do. Peggy, yeah. And, you know, because I was like, you know, I was saying the technology is so improved today that you can keep in touch with everybody. And that can be a bad thing, too, because some people from high school, you know, I didn't like them in high school. I don't like them now. But they're on my Facebook. So, you can, well, you know, it's like people send you these friend requests, and they're like you're a high school bully. And you're going, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
now you want to be my friend? Really? Really? Seriously? So, you know, you were throwing sand in my face last I remembered, but you want to be my friend? So, yeah, I can keep in touch with so many people on the show, and it's just amazing. you'll see scrolls of their face, and you'll go, oh, man, I remember them. You know, Shannon Tweed was a hoot, just a hoot. I just loved her.
Savannah Wilder.
Yes, man, wow. You have a great day's memory.
I do. I've been a fan my whole life.
Well, that certainly has made my life easier for me because it is people like you that gave me a job.
Thank you. And like I said, I wish you and Charlie could go back full time.
Oh, so, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah. Well, I know there are probably other people waiting to talk, and I don't want to monopolize your time. So thank you so much for talking to us.
I enjoyed talking to you, Dustin. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Dustin. Bye. Rose, you don't have books. Rose, you don't have books for the blooper clips. The Sterling already put them up.
I don't have what?
You guys, yeah, Sterling put it up on Facebook already.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
The
link? The day's blooper clips.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Somebody already put it up for me?
Yep.
I also just found the Hollywood Squares clip.
You're kidding. Cool. You're fast.
I just found them, and I'm going. There's like three of them, so I haven't
that
played them
awesome.
Yet. So I was going to post them after the interview, but I mean, somebody's beating me to it. So
I'm telling you, these are web wizards.
Yeah.
They are out there.
Well,
I've got them sitting
here right in front of me. I just haven't posted the links yet.
Kind of like Quick Draw McDraw. Out through them.
Now, you're in Jacksonville now. Do you have anything that you're doing, like charities or, I mean, like what do you, hobbies, any work lined up? I mean, anything coming up in the future?
That's such a great question, Rose. I wish I could come up with, I was going to make up all this pretend stuff, you know, like to be an impressive actor. But, and I was kind of racking my brain, you know, what sounds good? I can pretend this, but, you know, the truth is kind of like far more interesting. I have the most stunningly uneventful life of anybody I know. I am fantastically unimportant and in a blissful way.
You are not.
Yes, I am.
You are not unimportant. Do you crochet? Do you, I mean, hobbies. What do you do?
Okay. You really want, man, this might be embarrassing. Do you know, girls, I discovered karaoke and went to heaven.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's fun.
You know what? We are going to have to Skype karaoke together.
Seriously, I wish you would because I didn't know.
I will. I'll DM you.
And says, well, there is one project. You know, here's the thing. I thought, well, you know, when you moved to Florida, that's a pretty good sign you're retired, right? You know, let's just tie up the boat to the shore. You're not going to go sailing again, girl. So that's what I thought. Well, since I've been here, I got a call to go back to Days, and I got a film. Now, how that happened in Jacksonville, Florida, I don't know. It's like you can't get there from here. But I would start in February in Salem, Oregon. Wonderful director, producer, Timothy Hines, gave me a call. Okay. We're doing this project, 10 Days in a Madhouse, based on a true story of Nellie Bly. Probably she changed more, probably one of the most unsung heroes of all time. This lady beat Jules Verne record of around the world in 80 days. She did it in less than that. She literally went around the world in less than 80 days. And this is in the 1800s, late 1800s. And she feigned insanity to do an undercover story of an insane asylum on Blackwell Island where, you know, people had these horrible stories coming out of them, but nobody believed they could be true. They didn't. In that time, it was kind of innocent and naive. You couldn't believe in such inhumane treatment of human beings. So she feigned insanity and went undercover and damn near nearly didn't get out. So she had the face of, she exposed a lot of evil, horrible things that were going on for women and people who were suffering. And she created a standard of moral conduct for our mentally ill for today.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds like such an awesome role.
Well, I play as a supporting role, but this when you get my age, you don't do stuff anymore. You support people. I don't mind. I love supporting people.
Well, it doesn't matter. The movie sounds awesome.
So I would, you know what? I would go to serve coffee for these people. Honestly, to be involved in a project like this, these people are so passionate. They spend the last 10 years of their life, historically digging up transcripts from the courts, from the mental institution, from the boarding houses, from the newspaper she worked for. I mean, they have, Susan Goforth as producer, they've invested their lives. So just to be around people like this, you know, girls, I don't care if I'm acting or not. I really want to be the caterer. I wouldn't mind. Coffee, ham sandwiches, just let me watch. But the fact that they want me to actually play something, that was, and at a time when I thought everything was over, I just kind of, and not in a bad way, but I just thought, well, now, you know, you had a good run. You know, I tell myself, you had a good run, kid. You had a good run. 34 years, that's damn good. Most actors can't say they could support themselves on the career that they love for 34 years, and I got to do that. So I said, you know, no complaints, no regrets. It's all good, but maybe it's just time to get the rocking chair out on the front porch.
No.
Well, what is the role that you play in the movie?
Mrs. Stannard is the owner of a boarding house that Nellie Bly chose to check herself into so that she would convince the women in this house that she was insane. So she's kind of using Mrs. Stannard to complain about her enough that she'll take her to court and the court will, you know, say that she's mentally incompetent and the court will sentence her. But she knew she had to cause a ruckus to get in there. So, and I have seen pictures of this boarding house. It's still, I believe the original one, they say they found demolition papers in 1915. I don't know whether it was ever demolished and then something built, but there is still a building at the address in New York. And I saw pictures of it, and it's like, so, it's kind of creepy. But the reason we're going to Salem, Oregon is because it is a period piece, and Historical Society of Salem has preserved Victorian homes in their original state. So you've got, you know, your settings, you're surrounded with an era long gone, 200-year-old, you know, buildings.
I love Victorian homes. That's my dream, to own one or a bed and breakfast or something. I just love those houses. They're so beautiful. And so much work was put into them.
It was, and to preserve them, can you imagine? So I can't wait. You know, I get to go. I've never been to Salem, Oregon, and dress up in, you know, the costumes of 1888. I've never done a period piece. And they get to wear the wigs at that time and, you know, and the props and get to use things that were 200 years ago and step into that era. I've never been able to do that. So at 57 years old, to kind of be refreshed again and get to do what I love is something I didn't see coming. This has been a gift. It's just a gift. I didn't really do anything to earn it. I was in Jacksonville, Florida. Nothing happens in Jacksonville, Florida. So this came out of left field in the most pleasant of ways.
Oh, please keep us updated on it, too, and I'll keep an eye on your Facebook page, too, so when it comes out, your fans can go see it. And I'd like to see it, too. It sounds fascinating.
Well, I love true stories, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Our history, yeah. History, too. Historical stories are fun.
And there's not one about a woman that can carry a whole movie in a lot of films. So, you know, she's such an important part of history, and she certainly made a difference for women's rights, for the rights of the mentally ill, that what we have today, we have her to thank for it, but not a lot of, people in colleges and stuff who really study this stuff know about it, but the public at large, it's not a household name. I hope it will be. Maybe.
Well, we'll see. If not, at least it will educate more people. So.
It educated me.
Mm-hmm.
I was ignorant before I got onto this project. I was just ignorant. You can be ignorant in Jacksonville and nobody really notices. I just blended right in.
You're funny. Let me bring on Sabina. She's in the South, too. So,
here's
Sabina.
Hi, Patsy.
Hey, Sabina. How you doing?
I'm good. I am in Atlanta, and I just got through sending you a Facebook post on your wall, and you answered me. It was so sweet, and I think you are a wonderful person, and you are talented. And just listening to what you have said so far, it's just melting my heart and making me adore you even more. So I just wanted to be able to say hi and tell you that from the bottom of my heart, I absolutely adore you.
Well, you know what? Here's another. Give me a virtual Kleenex time book. I'm sorry. I thought this part of the career was over. So when you call and you tell me something from your heart like that, it is a profound impact on me because I'm not used to it. And it's fresh for me. So
well, you've definitely
appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, and I've got to give a truth and tell you and admit that I never really got to watch Shane and Kimberly in their heyday. I didn't start watching Days until 1990, and I was in seventh grade. Only reason I watched was because I was sick in bed for a week. And I got hooked, and ever since then, I have been a loyal fan, and that's the only soap I've ever watched. I've tried to watch others, but nothing's ever really stuck. Days, to me, is a family. It's like everybody's a family, and it exudes out to us as the viewers, and I feel like part of the family. Even before I started meeting my favorite actors and everybody from Days that I've ever met, and I'm really blessed and truly feel very honored to have met the ones that I have met and talked to, like you, and I actually talked to Charles Shaughnessy last night on the show, and it just warms my heart to be able to watch, you know, after watching all these great actors, get to see them and talk to them and know what kind of people they are outside of their character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's wonderful.
Well, they have a certain kind of caliber. It's a very unusual cast because it is a tight group. There's just something about the camaraderie. It's almost like a mm-hmm. stage company, you know, like a touring stage company where you really get to know each other. You get tight. You got each other's back. You just know when you get on stage with that actor, no matter what happens, you're safe. And you don't get that nervous because, you know, every time I get on stage with Charlie, my nerves disappear because I say, well, what possibly could happen? You're with Charlie. You know, that's a big safety net. And I can't say that about a lot of places in my life. I can just walk in and immediately feel fully safe. But I've always felt that when I got on stage with Charlie. At Days, there is a certain, you know, I got your back. Don't worry. If you go up, you know, we'll work it out. But it is like a stage troupe, a touring stage troupe.
Yeah, it's really funny because that's the only soap that's like that, honestly. I mean, I'm sure there's others that become close and friendly, but I don't know, it's wonderful. I've always, I guess that's part of what drew me to the show to begin with.
I think so.
And for the longest time, I would see all these wonderful fan events, and I could never get to them because I was, you know, I just for whatever reason, and now they're starting to have. And as a matter of fact, you were actually supposed to be coming to the Atlanta Days charity event 1 year, and something happened and you had to cancel. So I came very close to meeting you, actually, because I've been going for a few years.
Well, hopefully we can rekindle some of that, and maybe, you know, it ain't over till the fat lady sings and I don't hear anybody warming up. I ain't hear anybody warming up in the wings. Ain't nobody there. Ain't no fat woman warming up in the wings getting ready to sing. So I have no reason to believe it's over.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. But, yeah, I mean, Atlanta is big and booming with lots of filming and TV and movies.
That's the new Hollywood. I mean, I know that Pinewood Studios, that used to make all the James Bond movies in London, is relocated to, I think it's Atlanta. I know they're in Georgia. And I think Tyler Perry's company is there also.
Yep, they're here. Yep. Yeah. I'm putting out there in the universe that hopefully somebody will bring you here to Atlanta for something, because that would be kind of fun, too. I would love that.
Awesome. That would be an easy drive, because people joke that Jacksonville is so close that we are called the southmost point of Georgia. We're called South Georgia. It's like right there on the river that actually go, well, if you just move it a little bit to the right 5 inches, now you're in South Georgia. So.
And you say you're from North Carolina. I'm not sure where exactly,
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Charlotte.
Well, I was born in Norfolk, Virginia. I didn't live there. As a matter of fact, my parents lived in Moyock, North Carolina. It's like way rural. It's out in the boonies. I visited there once, and luckily I didn't grow up there, because I'm a city person. I don't want to be out in the boonies. But then again, if I had been raised there, I'm sure it would have been, different. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know all that. And I actually did meet Jen Lilly at an event here in Atlanta, and she is amazing. And I tell you, your eyes, they definitely cast her perfectly, because you both have these beautiful eyes that pop.
Thanks. But, isn't it funny that we were looking, Charlie and I were looking at each other, and then we looked at Jen one day and we said, you know what? If we had a kid, it would probably look like that.
Yeah. It's amazing how well they cast for that.
Yeah, they have a great casting department. I mean, obviously they do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. And speaking
You're
from
welcome.
Your heart, thank you.
And thank you for taking our, having this wonderful show and being on the show. And, I'll be keeping in touch on Facebook and Twitter and throughout.
Okay.
I look forward to that movie as well, by the way.
I'll bring the popcorn.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it was great speaking with you. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you,
Sabina.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We need to get you back on that Atlanta Days charity event. They have a couple a year.
That would be so much fun. Yeah, with the last one, the reason I went to Charlotte, my dad had been ill, and I had he had kind of taken a dive to the south, not geographically, but health wise. And so I couldn't leave him at that point.
That's totally understandable.
I would love to again, and especially now that I'm only 5 hours away.
Mm-hmm. And Dace is having their 50th anniversary, about 2 more years, I believe? Hopefully the show has something planned with fan events for the 50th and... I know General Hospital, when they had their...
Bring in a lot of the, veteran actors back.
Hopefully they bring in a lot of the veterans.
Yeah.
Well, they're so far ahead. They're 4 months ahead in taping. I'm sure they're 2 years ahead in planning for that.
I'm sure, yeah.
They're like squirrels. They store nuts for the winter. I mean, you could have a famine, you could have a national disaster, and that show is prepared.
Yeah,
that story's going to go on for 4 months from hell or high water. You don't even have to pay. That show's going to be going on television.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for you, did it seem like you were waiting forever for your episodes to appear this last time? Since you filmed in July, and we watched them in November.
You know, at my age, I started to forget I ever did the show.
Oh, no.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast, much less taping episodes for Days of Our Lives in July. By the time September got here, I forgot I did it.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, we still have lots of callers. Let me bring some more people on. Okay. Here we go. Robin, you're on with Patsy.
Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, Patsy.
Robin. Okay. Oh, here, happy birthday, girl.
That you remembered.
Okay, of course I remembered. I'm going to
have my heart attack.
I forget about doing my own show, but I remember my fans.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Yes, I will be 41 Saturday.
There you go. And you got quite a few presents going
yes,
on
I
at
did.
The same
this
time.
This is the best one.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I really hope you have a wonderful something planned for yourself and family. You going to celebrate big?
Well, I don't have any family here in Pennsylvania. I'm originally from North Carolina. I was born in Charlotte.
I know. You're
and
my homegirl.
I am a homegirl. Mm-hmm. I was adopted into Wilkes County. And I lived in a little town called Roaring River.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, it's like the last caller. It's out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. A lot of North Carolina is.
Basically, yes. But I had a funny story I wanted to tell you. I had to search on your Peeps site on the Facebook, the Patsy Pease's Peeps, the three PQ whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, I had to ask this question because I'm a big fan, but I'm terrible at remembering numbers and the years and stuff that each storyline happened. So I asked. Yeah, so Susie, I can't pronounce her last name, starts with an M, but she was nice enough to tell me that this took place in the summer of 85. It was the storyline with Kim's blindness. So I was 12 years old. So I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, if you know anything about that. Yeah. Well, we're sitting there.
I am
there.
From North Carolina. Of course I do.
we were sitting in Sunday school with my Sunday school teacher, and she says, like she usually does every Sunday, are there any prayer requests? So my little hand shoots up, and she says, yes. And I said, I have a friend named Kimberly. She's blind, and she's really bitter. And she's pushing people away, especially her boyfriend, Shane. And I'm really concerned about her. Can we pray for her? True story.
Oh, well, you know what? From that prayer to the writer's hands, you know, it works in strange and wonderful ways. But something got the writers to get her out of that blindness. And it could have started with you, Robin. So if I have you to thank, thank you.
I had to tell you that. I just remembered.
I just think that.
I just remembered, I got took to town, though, for that. She the next week, she called me to her desk or wherever, to whatever we were doing, and she said, your friend Kimberly, she's on TV, isn't she? I said, yes. But see, at 12, I'm not so sure that I could differentiate between truth
right.
and non-reality. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I know now I shouldn't have done that, but it was hilarious at the time. I can't believe I did that. And my other two things were that I had parakeets. I told you this today. I had a set of parakeets that were blue and green. Shane was blue. Mm-hmm. Kimberly was green.
I like that arrangement.
Yeah. You have green eyes, so yeah. And
that makes sense to me.
My favorite, though, was that I had a Cabbage Patch doll named Kimberly Patricia.
I knew how it ended up in the cabbage patch.
No, those were my little stories. But like I got to talk to you the last time, just really you have no idea how much your storyline with the sexual abuse, with Kimberly's sexual abuse with her Uncle Eric played a part in my life. I've told you that a million times, but you really, you have no idea, Patsy.
Well, it makes it all worthwhile because, you know, if you have something happen and you think you can't survive it, but then somebody else comes along and says, hey, this helped me, then all of a sudden it gives it meaning.
Yes.
You have a purpose to your story. And then it doesn't become something that's hopeless and something that's going to, you know, drag you down. You telling me that gave value to whatever happened to me. That's how we work in life. You know, we connect instead of sitting at home and keeping it to ourselves. We get it out there to touch another human being. And in touching another human being, we're touched as well.
Amen to that, sister friend.
Well, thank you for giving value to my story.
Oh, you're welcome. I don't see it that way, but thank you.
Well,
that's very sweet.
That's
I don't know. It just the whole storyline, just really. I don't know. I'm going to cry. I don't want to cry.
That's all right. We all been crying. We've been crying all along. You can join right in any time, Robin.
It's just that I don't compare abuses against someone else's abuse because I don't think that's fair.
Right.
Because what I went through and what you went through and what somebody else went through was horrible for them.
Right.
And I can't imagine what you went through or what my best friend went through because she's been through abuse, and I kind of wish I had known her. She's my family here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had known her when we were little. She's just 2 years older than me, because I would have been her friend, because she was made fun of in school, bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She was sexually abused. Mm-hmm. She went through a lot of things like similar to me. And if I had been there to help her, I somehow kind of think maybe we wouldn't have been through what we went through. But that being said, what we went through made us who we are.
Exactly.
If I can share that with somebody, like about my experience, which I have been pretty open on the two Shading Kimberly things back and forth, the peeps and the Bring Patsy Peas back to Days of Our Lives. I've been pretty open about my story. It's not that I go out there and freely share it, but if it's going to help somebody, I will share.
And there's a beautiful magic in that. See, troubles shared are cut in half, and joys that are shared are doubled.
Ooh.
It's the sharing that does the math. Cut those troubles in half and double the joy. That's a wonderful, loving universe right there. And it's in the sharing that who would have thought? I was terrible at math when I was in school, but I didn't know if it's as simple as sharing something with another human being, math happens automatically. I'd have done that a long time ago.
you were funny, too. I didn't realize how funny you were.
I'm hysterical.
Yes, you are. You are.
You're talking about high school, and that is actually what I wanted to ask you. Wikipedia is known for not knowing the right things, but they say that your nickname was Zonker.
Yeah, they need a citation. I just citated you, Wikipedia. There. You can put that in your Wikipedia.
They did. They put that in there, that your nickname was Zonker in high school.
It is so true. And I still have people who come up remembering Zonker. I would go up to people for some odd reason, I entertained myself. I was a very strange child. I was 14, and I would touch the tip of my elbow to the tip of their elbow, and it was something so annoying about that sound that people would jump, and I felt like it kind of electrified, and it lifted, because I never did it to a single human being who didn't laugh. It always got somebody to laugh, and that's why I did it. I love hearing people laugh. And if I did something to look like an idiot and they laughed, well, then I'd just go right on acting the idiot. I was a happy idiot.
Happy,
so I was
always
zonkers
good.
Idiot.
Oh, that's funny.
So Zonker, Zonker's the nickname. It says citation needed, as if they don't know for sure. So I had to ask. But that's
well,
an awesome
I can
story.
Tell them for sure. That's a good question. I'm so glad that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to clear that up. That was a mystery that Wikipedia doesn't seem to have solved yet. I wanted to clear
yeah.
that up for a very long time now.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love that story. I mean, it also says you did Taekwondo and there's all kinds of stuff.
It did? Yeah. I got up in Taekwondo, but I was doing days at the time, and I think I was testing for I didn't get that high. I was testing for an orange belt or purple belt, and makeup department said she was tired of covering the bruises on my arm. But yes, far. And you have to go in there, and, you know, you get down and knock big gusts. You got some of these guys. I had some of these guys, they're like 6'4". And, you know, and I'm saying to my, you know, karate master, I said, you know what, you know, I don't know. Look how big they are. But then I realized I was talking to a Korean guy who was 1 inch shorter than me. And and his hands were smaller than mine. And yet, you know, he could split boards, you know, into toothpicks. So...
Yeah.
They had no sympathy for me whatsoever.
Well, it says you work off. You worked so hard that you would arrive covered in sweat, and that the stage manager would grab you and dry you off with the hair dryer.
Well, that's because I didn't have a car. See, when I got to Los Angeles, I was drinking, and I don't know whether I forgot where I parked my car or whether my car was stolen. I went out one morning, and my car was gone, and I have not found it since. But I did not have a car. And because
your car
conduct,
was stolen.
That's okay. Well, I'm glad you got the police report, because I have been wondering about that.
I don't
so
have
long.
It. Wikipedia says the car was stolen. I don't know.
Wikipedia says it, and it must be true. But Wikipedia doesn't know I was zonker either, so I don't know about Wikipedia.
I had to ask.
I'm glad you did, because when I first got to, my boyfriend left. He wasn't getting worse, so he had to go back. I didn't have any family. I didn't have any friends, and my agency dumped me. And then I walked out, and my car was stolen. I thought, what's worse, being in L.A., being without an agent or being without a car? But that was when I got the call to audition for Dave, which went after my car was stolen and my agency dumped me. And I thought, how am I going to get there? So the best I could do in my lame brain mind was thumb a ride. I'm from North Carolina. We thumb. That's all I know.
It says
I didn't
thumb
know.
A ride to get to the studio.
A guy in a convertible. Of course, it was a convertible.
Yeah.
I looked like I stuck my finger in a light socket by the time I got to NBC Studios. My hair looked like a bride of Frankenstein. And I was wearing a pantsuit. I don't know why. It was July. It was 110 degrees. Why did I wear a pantsuit? I don't know. The stage manager took one look at me and went, what do you want? And I said, I'm auditioning for the role of Kimberly Brady.
Oh, no.
He said, oh, God, no. So she got a hair dryer, and she dried me off. I was drenched in sweat. And I got my hair done. So how I got that job is God only knows.
It looks to me like when bad things happen, you know, like it's like when one door closes, another one opens somewhere.
Yes. I had every door shut at that point. I don't know how the light cracked in.
But there
that
was
room.
Another door opening. There's always a rainbow at the end somewhere.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. And that was not a rainbow that I ever thought was possible. That was totally outside anything I could imagine. I couldn't even imagine
that happening. It even brought you to winning the Best Actress in 1986, along with Best Couple in 86 as well, isn't it?
You know, here's the thing. How can you go from being a dismal mess, living in a one-room walk-up apartment down downtown L.A., infested with roaches, to winning Best Actress 2 years later? How
well, guess
does
what?
That
you did it.
How did that happen?
Well, you did it.
Well, you says a lot about you. That's what it, you know.
I appreciate that, girls, but I know It never felt like I was doing it alone. I had people, and I hate to call people fans. I sound like such a big head saying that. My friends, I have these friends that watch the show. That's what I like to call them. I have friends that watch the show. I don't know if I could have done it without these people and their support. I never felt like I was doing it by myself. I felt like I was being propped up by the love and the support of a band of angels. So I got up there, and it was like there was a group of people behind me at all times. I never felt alone.
And that's just awesome. That's a really awesome story, too. I love that.
Well, you know what? It's like I like telling it now because it wasn't fun at the time.
No, I mean, when you're struggling through it, it's not fun, but I mean, you did. You went on to win Best Actress and Best Couple, you know, with, I mean.
And, you know, and the stage manager, that the same one that dragged me off, I came and I showed her the award, and she says, "Honey, I have no idea how that happened."
But it happened. You made it happen because of you. You are an awesome lady, and we all love you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, speaking about getting your role on Days, maybe we could talk about your first, how you debuted on Days in Tony DiMera's Bed.
K.O. Pinglaze, my
K.O.
man.
K.O. Yeah, so how was that? He comes out of the shower with just a towel on. So how was that?
Whoa.
Well, first of all, K.O. is, he's so supportive of effort. He intuitively knew how I felt my first day. He knew. He looked at me, one look at me, and he said, "Okay, this is the way it goes around here." He took me through the ropes. This happens at this time, and then we do camera block at this time, and he kind of structured the day for me so I'd know what to expect, because he knew I was nervous, and not knowing what to expect makes you more nervous. So he knew how to calm me down. And I'll never, ever forget what he did for me that first day.
Oh.
He was genuinely, genuinely a kind man. So that's my Teo Pinglaze story. He's the one that got me started.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put on some more callers. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have Jesse on the line.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Wonderful. I get to talk to you.
Well, I wanted to know how you're doing today, what you've been up to.
Let's see. I registered for spring quarter.
You did?
And went to the bookstore. What did you do today?
Let's see. I gave my dogs a bath. I told you I have the most eventful life in the whole world. I took my sons to Walmart. That was the highlight of my day, I got to tell you. That was the highlight of my day. Going through Walmart and the electronics with two 20-year-olds.
Walmart itself is always fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, we have had more fun. I don't know why. But if we had a documentary of the times we've had most fun, it somehow has always seemed to have happened in a Walmart somewhere in some state. So that's what we did. We revisited our favorite place and had a good time.
Oh, that's understandable. That's like our where I live. I live kind of out in the boonies. But Walmart, like when I was in high school, that was like the hangout. Like, people
mm-hmm.
would bring jacked-up trucks and have lawn chairs in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So, Walmart in the South is, like, I don't know, the Mecca or something. It's kind of odd because there's, like, really nothing to do.
Well, you get a super Walmart, you got a block party.
The weirdest thing, like, you go in the parking lot and there's just, like, all of these trucks around and people, like, they had the lawn chairs in the back of the truck. It was just so
mm-hmm.
off-putting. Like, I can't believe I live in a place that people do this.
Well, but, you know, it's like, it's not natural for us to be isolated. We are a herd kind of mentality. We need to be together. And so we will find places, you know, sociology would be so fascinating to study. We find places to congregate just so we can be together and, you know, and remind each other that we're not alone, because it's kind of terrifying for the survival of species to feel isolated and alone. It's not natural. So even if we have to get a lawn chair and prop it up in the back of the tow truck in the middle of the parking lot of Walmart and get social, get down and social with some collard greens and some grits with your neighbor who's parked right next to you.
Well, I'm not that southern. I don't need the green.
Yeah. Well, you know, but we will find in any area, any community, a way to get social. And it's pretty fun to watch. Huh?
So I have a question for you. You mentioned that you do some work with the Wounded Warrior Project.
My son does. He trains service dogs for soldiers with PTSD.
Wow. Okay. Has he always been into dogs? Like really, like passionate about it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think there's something about that profession. It's a gift. I think some people have sense things very deeply, and he's always been really sensitive. But we rescued 4 dogs about 14 years ago, and we went to the pound for 1 puppy, because this was the thing, it was the first house we ever bought, and we were going to have 1 dog. Well, the problem was the dog that my boys picked out had 3 siblings. We didn't plan on that. I just saw, you know, 4 little guys, and they all came from the same litter, and I didn't know how to split them up. And so we took all of them. I still have 2 of them. 2 of them left 14 years later. And these are big dogs, too, which is unusual. But so they grew up with these big old dogs, and they use them as pillows. They're so big. They're kind of like a boxer Rhodesian Ridgeback mix. And so they would sleep on them, sleep on their bellies, use them as pillows. So he grew up with a love for dogs, but it wasn't until he went in the Navy and they shipped him around here. He ended up in Jacksonville because Mayport is where they come in. It's a Navy port. So that's how he ended up here, and he started looking for work, and it was really hard for guys just out of the service, you know, finding work. And so he went to Petco and found that he had a knack. He knew instinctively how to handle unruly canine. And I mean, he's gone in with some bad neighborhoods with pit bulls that have been, you know, people have abused, and and come out with his shirt torn, but the dog's fine and walking right behind him. He you know, his hero is, of course, the dog whisperer, you know, Caesar. And he studies all his tapes, and he just kind of like this guy, he's a mentor. So he applies all those principles to the dogs he's training. And I've seen him do things with a dog that I thought was untrainable. I just thought there's no way. It's just mean, aggressive. And he can get through to these animals. Do I sound like a proud mother? I don't want to keep going on because I know everybody feels that way about their kids. But, you know, it just got, and because it is a military town, he went on from that and find out that a lot of these animals are specially trained to be service dogs. That was fascinating. You know, what do you have to do? What's the difference with that? How do you train a service dog? How's that different from training, you know, just regular training? And meeting the vets and the soldiers, I think that was very fulfilling. To train it to meet the special needs, individual, custom-made needs of a vet. That was, and it was more interesting to him. So, yeah, that's my big baby boy, and I'm kind of proud of him.
Well, it's always nice to hear. I wanted to say thank you for leaving a comment on my page when I lost my pit bull.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing with that?
It's still kind of hard. Like, I think about her a lot. And I just feel like, you know, she's taken way too early.
Well, the reason I left the comment, my heart went out to you, and I love pit bulls, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around pit bulls. But I saw the love you had given her, and it was in her eyes, and it touched me so deeply, and I have had to do the same with, to put down two of mine within the last 2 years. And I think that's the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. It's kind of, they're so defensive. I mean, they can't speak. They can't tell you what's wrong. If they need to get out, they can't open a door or get food for themselves. And they're totally dependent, totally dependent. So I understood how you felt, and I just wanted to let you know that I know how you feel.
Thank you. Are you, I hope I'm not wasting your time here. Are you still going to school? But I had seen on your Facebook that you have, it was like a North Carolina school. Are you still pursuing it?
I would love to go back to school. Thank you for asking. I got a Bachelor's of Fine Arts from North Carolina School of the Arts. It was a 4-year program. But I always wanted to get my master's, and I was going to try at Queens College in Charlotte, but I moved here, so it wasn't enough time. But, yeah, I think keeping an education going on is vital. I've seen people live longer when they kept their minds active.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a whole lot of good physiological benefit from being inquisitive and curious, and processing new information is one of the theories. It offsets Alzheimer's. One of the theories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think an active brain is good.
Are you trying to get your master's in what you got it in before, or are you trying,
I think Jesse, I look at this stage of the game, I think I better just keep on keeping on with what I've been keeping on with. I don't know if I can, jump tracks at this point in the game. But I love the arts. I love all dance, all theater, all music. It is something that it's a life force to me. I feel more alive when I'm surrounded by dancers and actors and musicians. So even if I'm not performing, at least I want to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
The history of dance, the history of theater, the history of music. Just, if I can't perform it, then learn it. So that was a way to stay, to keep excited about life. I mean, I think I like having a passion. I think life without a passion would be very, very dull. So
mm-hmm.
I was trying to keep up. I wasn't in the business anymore, so I was trying to keep up passion in my life, to create some kind of passion. So you have something to look forward to every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get ill, people start getting sick, and I know I started getting depressed for a while when I get up in the morning, and there's no place to be with nobody expecting me to be there and no task to be finished.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that, people looking forward to you showing up. You got somewhere to go. It's something very important. So school, I think, was one of my solutions to that problem, was having structure in a day.
Do you ever find it still hard? Like, do you ever find yourself really down some days and you really don't, you can't figure it out why, things in your life, but kind of, it just seems like you can't get there? Does that still happen to you sometimes?
That's every day. That's part of my life. Listen, I'm bipolar, and I have a chemical imbalance. So what that means is that my life is great. And here's the way I explain it to people. I'm not a sad person trying to get happy. I'm a happy person, but I have an illness.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain is the only organ of the body not allowed to be ill. So people can have diabetes. They get a lot of sympathy and support. Cancer, a lot of sympathy. Heart disease, a lot of kidney disease, a lot of sympathy, support. You say I have a mental illness, it's like, well, okay, I think it's time to go. So, oh, yeah, and I'll call you. Not. You know, he's mentally ill. She might be unbalanced or unpredictable. Edna, get your purse. Let's head out the back door. So what it says to me is there's a lot of ignorance about it. And so what I've learned is I have a physiological problem. It's an illness that needs to be addressed every single day. Just like diabetic would get insulin every single day, balance out their system. So it's something that I do have to address. And here's the thing. If you feel that way, don't compound it by being ashamed of it. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. We're human. We all go through feelings. And your feelings aren't wrong. That's the other thing I found. Nobody can tell you your feelings are wrong. You have your feelings. They're yours. And they're there for a reason. But I found it helps that if I have those days, not to start feeling ashamed of myself like I'm failing at life because I'm not keeping up being as happy as what I think other people are, which, by the way, they're not. They're not, but we think they are. You know, when we compare, have you ever won a comparing contest? I haven't. Whenever I compare myself to anything, I lose.
Yeah.
So it's better for me to just not compare because I never come out winning.
Yes, we always see what we don't have and what somebody else has, especially on Facebook in particular. Yeah, so looking at what we look around and see what we have, not concentrate on what else has, you know.
And see, here's something that's tricky about social media. As good as it is, there's been a lot of people have a lot more depression these days. And they did a study, and it's because when somebody's expectations of what they think their life should look like, because they see everybody else on Facebook. Now, Facebook, do you think people are going to put themselves sitting in a corner turning a light switch on and off? Or in their dirty bathrobe with mismatched socks with holes in them? Do you honestly think they're going to put pictures of that? Or on their worst hair day where they look like they hate being in a car going where they're going? They're not going to put those pictures. They're going to put the pictures at the highlight. Or what you can be anything you want to be. You can have people look at you any way you want them to look at you. You can sell yourself. But the problem is, because we see all that on some level, they're exceeding our expectations, and we expect ourselves to be that. And when my expectations exceed my reality, I get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens, with a lot of us, and especially in this day where everybody looks fabulous. I mean, people from high school that were the class failure are fabulous. You know, you got the town drunk who all of a sudden looks fabulous because he can look any way he wants. Everybody is a success on Facebook. See, that's the thing. So we think there's something wrong with us. We're not doing enough. We didn't achieve enough. Or we don't feel wonderful enough, we're not somehow managing our life well enough, and everybody else is doing so much better by comparing ourselves with these things. But the truth is, none of us are doing that well. You know?
Well,
yes.
Nobody is. Nobody is. Nobody is, honey. That's reality. I think accepting reality, and I mean, they say have great expectations, but you know what? I've been so much happier since I lowered my expectations. You know, if there's days you feel like that and you just feel like there's no reason to be down, you know, everything's fine, but you feel down, well, fine. Don't beat yourself up over. Sometimes I just say, let's take it 5 minutes at a time. And I'll say, okay, this is the way I feel, and I can't seem to force myself or will myself. And I don't feel like pretending. So do the next right thing that's in front of you. If it's the dishes, do the dishes as good as you can do them. And then look what the next right thing is and the next right thing. And that's literally how I sometimes have to take a day in 5-minute chunks at a time. Mm-hmm. And you know what's amazing? You get through the day and you realize the little things you did make you feel good.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before on your last interview.
Well, have you been doing it?
Well, it made me think. Definitely made me think, like, it. Like when I first heard it, like, it didn't really, I've never really thought about it that way, because you just get, like, overwhelmed with everything you have to do, and then it ends up, like, you don't do any of it.
Because you're expecting too much. You put all this the stuff you got to do, and it does get overwhelming. It's like your little self inside goes, whoa, that's way too much information. You know, break it down for me. You know, little baby steps, and keep it simple. You know, that de-escalates the situation, because we'll get overwhelmed so easily when we don't feel well to begin with. So that's easy, does it? And gentle, very gentle. And if you need me to say this 10 more times, I have no problem talking. I love to talk. This is my favorite subject. So we'll talk about this again, I'm sure.
Well, thanks, Jesse, for your questions.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Patsy, for talking with me.
Well, we'll talk again, Jesse. We're not done with this subject.
Right.
Oh, take care, darling. Keep me posted.
Okay.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye.
Okay. Let's bring on Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly.
Hello.
Kimberly. Hi.
Hi, Patsy.
How are you? Hi. Are you, the Kimberly?
This is Kimberly.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Do you know who this is? She's famous. Listen, it's just so funny that she's Kimberly and I'm a fan of hers. Not because we share the same name, but this woman puts together the best montages and posters and takes clips from the show and pieces them there together with music and comes up with art pieces. So. That's my introduction for you. This is your show, Kimberly. Let me ask you questions. How the heck do you do it?
I have a little software help. It's called iMovie. It's a wonderful thing.
Oh, I remember when I had the Mac. Oh, my goodness, splicing bits of music out. And play. Isn't that fun?
It is. I don't have really anything to ask you because I think I know the answers, but oh, I do want to give a shout out. The tea ladies wanted to say hello.
Tea ladies, hey, Susie Blaze and Holly.
You have to make sure to tell us where we can see these clips.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kimber, you've got a whole YouTube.
And Google channel. Made me change it. I think it's Kimberly really? And Shane, all one word. I think if you type that in, it should come up. They made
and
me
you,
change.
Do you
it,
have the
so.
Clip? Do you have the clip of Tony and Kim or Kimberly? Okay, go ahead.
sorry.
We're all still looking for the one where you got caught in Tony's bed.
There's a young lady that has a pretty good site. She's been actually doing them in chronological order. I think she's up
really?
To 1985, I think. she's got a lot of time on her hands. I don't have that much time. I think it's Spies of the Heart, I think is the name of the name of the
yeah.
site. She's got them all in order.
This is an incredible channel on YouTube. I subscribe to everybody. So I'm a big fan of their work. But if you ladies, if you want to go see some real delicate editing, and editing is an art all in and of itself. I can never do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really good at it. But they are.
Mary,
well, it's like
everyone, it's Spies of the Heart 2. if you wanted to
see
that.
Yes, that's correct.
Kimberly,
that's correct.
Yes.
I only did it once. I did it for my first grandson. But otherwise, I haven't ever. That was hard, putting the music and pictures together, and I just couldn't. It was hard.
Can I tell a story about the tea party ladies?
Yes.
I have to tell this now that Kimber's on the phone. When I got the call, seemingly nowhere, do I want to go days? I'm here in Jacksonville, Florida, and I have two old dogs that I have never boarded. You know, they're 14 years old. And I freaked out. What am I going to do with my dogs? I mean, they're very, very old. They have a lot of medication, a lot of problems. I just moved here. I don't know anybody. How can I just put them in a strange veterinary hospital and leave? Holly, who's part of the Tea Party Ladies, just happened to be vacationing here in Jacksonville. So Holly came over and took care of my dogs for me so I could do the show.
Oh.
And I didn't have a way. All my sons were working the day I had to go catch the plane. I didn't have a way to the airport. So Kimber and Blaze, his real name is Susan, I call her Blazy, and Susie and Holly got me a limo. These girls got me a limo, picked me up. They're the best sisters besides my sister that I've ever had. So they got me the reason that I could go do the show, and like I said, I've never done anything alone, was because they not only got somebody to look after my dogs, which is the biggest part of leaving. That was the biggest worry, that I couldn't leave because my dogs. They took care of that, and they got me to the airport. And
wow.
Blaze, when I got to L.A., Blaze picked me up at the airport.
Wow. Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was, you know, friends that watched the show made sure I got to work. They got
That's
me.
That was
so totally
awesome.
Worth it. It was totally worth it.
I wanted
to make sure. I said, Charlie, you have no idea what these ladies did to get me here.
I totally would have tried to help if I still lived there, but I moved from Southern California, so I'm there all the time. But I wasn't there when you were. So.
Right. Well, we wanted to make sure that we made it worth their while and gave them their money's worth, and. The hard thing was keeping our mouths shut about it for 4 months.
Yeah, you're really good on secrets.
You know what, Kimber? I'd like to take that as a compliment. But the truth is, honey, I just can't remember. My mind has deteriorated into dementia. I just forgot. Really, you can keep a secret really well if you just forget.
Oh. Well, now we have something to montage. I was impressed with just the interaction between Jen, Lily, and you in the little scene that we had before you got back into the pub. And I was like, well, that's cool. And then the kiss came, and I was like, oh, well, this is the icing on the cake.
we wanted to make sure those were the two main relationships that we knew people were looking for. And so I really concentrate, you know, because I can walk in with Peggy and Christian and Josh and Mary Beth, and it's just like I was there yesterday. We just fit into a groove again. So I wanted to make sure that the new relationships were just as good. And so we focused on that, and I think it came off really, really well. I was, you know, I'm such a big critic of my work, but I got to tell you, this time I was looking at scenes with Jen Lilly and with Charlie, and I thought, we did pretty good. Yeah, dang gum. You know, that's I could go next door in my neighbor and say, come here, I want you to show you what I just did. Which in Jacksonville, it would just shock the living daylights out of my next door neighbor. What?
Now, you know, if you have one child, Teresa's kind of a mess. Now, you got to assume there's something wrong with Andrew, right? I mean, that'll be the next thing to bring you guys in.
You know what? Here you go. See, she's been doing montages long enough. She knows how to follow through the storyline. She knows what the follow-through is. This girl could write a storyline by now. Well, Eve, Shane doesn't seem to spawn very good children either. Charlie and I were laughing about this, and we said, you know, there's something about
the DNA here is not really a good pool, because Eve didn't turn out real well either. And now Lisa,
well, that one we could blame on the mother too.
Well, they didn't have
you.
A father figure.
That's
a father
that's
figure.
True.
Shane was always gone, and Kimberly tried so hard, and she had to play both the mom and the dad. And I'm doing it with my kids, so I know how tough that is.
Well, girl, we could sing the national anthem on that. A single mother raising two kids on my own.
Yeah, and I have four, and the first two, you know, they're great kids, but I didn't do the best I could. Now, my younger two that are now teenagers, I'm hoping they seem to be doing better.
You
have four. I have four.
You deserve a medal. I don't care how they turned out. You deserve a medal.
I have four, and I am a single mother of all of them. You know, I'm not single anymore. I have a husband now, but he's
thank
barely
God.
Getting to know my kids. So, you know, I've raised
but
them
the fact
myself.
That, well, you know, I give you much respect for doing that, because I just had two. And you know, and it was rough with that. So four, I can't imagine. But you know, when you have that knowledge of that history, when you get a story like this, where, you know, it's like I was talking with Robin earlier, is like the worst time you ever had in your life. All of a sudden, a situation comes up today, and it becomes the best time because it's useful. I don't know. Yeah, now that we're talking about it, I don't know if I'd be able to play those scenes as realistically if I hadn't raised two kids on my own.
And, you know, I've noticed, I have two girls and two boys, and I've noticed that the girls seem to have the biggest problem without a father figure.
Oh, yeah.
And the boys, they're mama's boys. You know, they didn't really have such a problem. So, you know, that's why I would say Andrew probably is just fine.
Well, you know, but see, you do know, because you have experience, and I experienced pretty much the same thing. I just have all boys. I didn't get the honor of raising a daughter, but I've seen it happen enough that makes me wonder if Andrew doesn't turn out to be more of a shy kind of kid. Because you know, when you have a drama queen,
shy. I would expect him to be more like my youngest son. I'm sorry, I interrupted the whole interview here. This is Rose, by the way.
Rose, you didn't interrupt.
This is Rose. I interrupted about the four kids. I would expect him to be more like my youngest son. He's 15 now, and he's a little to himself, you know, but he's really smart and you know, he's really a good kid. So. You know, a little shy, but brilliant. So, you know, and that's what I would expect of Andrew. So,
that makes sense. That makes sense. When you have a sister that's getting into trouble all the time, she takes up a lot of focus, and you get crowded out. I would think you get pushed to the background when you got somebody who's making a lot of drama, and they have to get attention. So I think you kind of occupy yourself and find out a way to just kind of get along and keep quiet and out of the picture. But I think that does make it interesting. Are there any writers listening to this woman tell this story?
the older two were causing so many problems that, you know, you had to figure out what to do, you know? And you have these two other kids, and you have these two kids, and it's just, you know, I have to say, my younger two have turned out so far wonderfully. My youngest rides horses all the time. When I talk to Lauren Cosbo, I talk to her about the horses. She has her own horse and stuff. And she does Western competitions. I don't know if you've seen it on my Facebook or not. I'm sure it's on my Facebook. It's in my pictures. You can look.
Okay.
So she does all this stuff, and now she's in leadership and ASB club, and I mean, she's just soaring. So I'm really proud of her. I guess it took me four tries to get a good one, you know?
No, I think there are a lot of ladies listening that can identify with the scenario, and a lot of women out there working really hard to raise the kids on their own, which would be interesting
to see with the storyline, because there are so many people who can sympathize with putting that in a storyline of what was it like for Kimberly and what are the repercussions she's facing today because of the struggle she had raising these kids on her own. I think that resonates
yeah.
with a huge audience.
Yeah, because
Shane
was still there, but he was always gone. You know, he was working.
Yeah.
And children don't understand that. They don't understand when they're, you know, especially teenagers, they don't understand. Dad has to work. He's gone for the next 6 weeks, you know. And
well,
military kids, I live in a military neighborhood. They really,
uh-huh.
you know, it's hard for them.
Well, most kids think it's his fault.
They do.
So that's a whole different dynamic, which is, again, resonates with a lot of people. I don't know anybody that doesn't understand what that feels like. So it would be interesting to see that investigated in a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would be really neat. That would be
what
really neat
think,
for them to go back and explain and have Teresa, you know, kind of flashback with some scenes with you again,
mm-hmm.
you know, about what
mm-hmm.
happened with you and her and how this all
mm-hmm.
transpired, really, you know, because she really seems to have a hatred for you. And
I think that would help the audience have an empathy for her because, you know, Jen and I were talking about my purpose there, I believe, was to help the audience see her through the eyes of love. That was my job in telling the story as far as I was concerned. Was, you know, even a serial killer, their mother.
Well, yeah,
their mother.
At this point, I see her as my older daughter. She had a lot of issues, you know, and
mm-hmm.
especially with me still to this day. She's 20-something years old. I can't count. She's 23, I think. I think she's 23.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had two sons, you know, and she's been through
mm-hmm.
a lot in her life. You know, she's a survivor, let me tell you. That girl is a
mm-hmm.
survivor. She's been through molestation. She's been through everything.
Wow.
She's lost her first son, my first grandson, passed away, was drowned in an accident. So she's been through that. Still survives. She does not consider herself a victim. She's a survivor. So she is really tough. And after seeing the scenes with Kimberly and Teresa, I can really relate that to my oldest daughter because she really doesn't trust me so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had my grandson here for her second son. I had him here for a little while, and she thought I was going to steal him from her. So
yeah,
so she came
yeah.
and got him as fast as she could, you know. But, you know, there's issues there, and there's issues between Teresa and Kimberly. There's issues.
And what I found for myself was I had one kid who was easier to hate me because I won't leave. It was easier to hate me than the dad because the dad would leave. So it's almost safer. It was a funny kind of compliment, but my kid felt safe enough to hate me because he knew I'll never leave him. But
yeah, and that's
wasn't,
my son. He knows I'll never leave.
It wasn't me. It was stealing from his dad, but
mm-hmm.
because I was the one that was I got hit with the I hate my dad, I hate you, you know, and it was directed at dad, but it's not safe because dad can just book. Hey, you tell him you're angry, he's out of here. You tell mom, she doesn't go anywhere. So I think I don't know if compliment's the right word. It says a lot about the safety with you.
Yeah, and they talked about that in the scenes between Teresa and Shane and Kim because Teresa really talked about fighting with you all the time. I think it was
mm-hmm.
a scene between Shane and Teresa that they talked about how she couldn't play dad against mom anymore. That's a
mm-hmm.
big thing because I know through the stepdads
mm-hmm.
and stuff, the kids try to play mom against dad, you know, and it just don't
mm-hmm.
work. And it works at first, especially when dad's never there, you know. So I think that would be a really fun thing for them to revisit if they're, you know, depending on where they're going with it, to show Teresa's background with Kimberly and how hard it was to raise her with the other two kids.
Well, I think you have a great idea, and I think it would help a lot of women come to terms. And, you know, and I've been through it, and I know it's still, you know, you try to come to terms with the aftermath of trying to do the best you can with what you know at the time. And I know a lot of us kick ourselves and, you know, I woulda, coulda, shoulda. But
oh, yeah. I always tell my daughter, you know what? The choices I made were what I thought was the best at the time. Mm. Now, looking back, they may not have been the best choices, but at the time, I felt they were the best.
Yeah, and we, you know, and accepting that and getting real sympathetic with that, sometimes it helps to have a community of women who are sharing that same story. That's another thing I don't think we can do and come to terms with on our own. I think that leaves us very isolated and very alone. And I think the only way to get a good idea of, you know, if I knew better, I'd do better, but that's what I knew at the time, and I can only make a decision based on what I know. And kind of, you know, it's like, get off your case, you know, for a while. Get off your case and on your side.
Yeah, and it helps to have somebody who's already been through that situation talk you through it to help give you some kind of idea of what happened when they made that choice. So.
Well, I think that's a good thing to open that conversation with the storyline. I hope, you know, I hope that they do, just because we've opened up a conversation. I hope there are women that are listening out there that can identify with this and know you're not alone. And women tend to beat ourselves up anyway. It's all our fault. I don't care what
it's always happens. Our fault. We're the ones that make the decision.
It's always all our fault.
Yes.
Just know.
And how many people that watch Days are single women with children? I mean, there's probably a lot of them. So,
well,
you know, it would be a great storyline for them to kind of investigate there a little bit.
We'll see. What do you think about that, Kimber? Are you still there? Where'd Kimber go?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I think we're still together. Yeah, I think we're still on.
Kimber, are you still there?
Hello?
Hello? Can you still hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is... I mean, you know, sometimes
can we run out of tape?
Have you ever gone through different places of your house where there's a dead spot?
Oh, I probably have one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
it just said on here the show ended, or is it ending? Or are we still on? I don't know. Did we go over the two-hour mark?
We're just talking. We just continued talking, and the show ended, and we're still talking. Oh, my God. Is that the sign of a good show or a bunch of Gabby broads?
It'll still go, girls. It's just you have to be on the you have to listen to it online or on the film line now.
It'll still go for
a little while. It's still rolling. It's just
it's
a matter
rolling.
Of it cut off. It cut off for the
talking.
Chat room. It cut off for the chat room, but we're okay. I think we still have two callers, don't we, Carrie?
Oh, sorry. Here we go.
I think we still have two more callers, don't we, Carrie? Carrie? I'm not at the dashboard, so.
Oh.
I think we still have two more callers.
Oh, Sterling, 802?
I'm here.
There you go. Sorry it took us so long. Go ahead.
Hi, Patsy.
Hey, Sterling. Thank you for your support.
I just think you're awesome, and I think you're a great actor. You inspired me to be an actor.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying. I know you've supported us for so many years now.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, your devotion and dedication means a lot to me. I mean, you really hung in there for a long time with us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night and have a good week.
You too. What's
bye,
that,
Patsy.
Bye, Sterling. Nice to hear from you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Sterling already posted all the clips we were talking about on Facebook. So she's been busy bee.
Really?
Oh, wow. I posted the one, the first clip from Hollywood, Hollywood Squares. I did post that one and tagged both Patsy and Charles in it. So
you should
be able to see it.
What happened to Kimber? Did we cut her off? I don't want Kimber to be offended because I hope we didn't cut her off. She was on the line, and then all of a sudden she disappeared. So, Kimber, if you're out there, I'll pick up my conversation with you on FB because I don't want you to just drop off the side of the earth of this conversation and think that, you know, we hung up on you or anything. I don't know what happened, but I just want to let you know, that whatever we need to do, I'll continue my conversation with you because you mean the world to me.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, thank you so much, Patsy. This has been, you're always entertaining, and we always learn so much from you every time we have you on.
This is, you know, I miss talking to you guys. This is fabulous.
I'm sorry I took up so much time talking. I didn't mean to.
Well, whatever comes up needs to come up. I have a feeling there are a lot of women out there that needed to hear what you had to say, Rose. So don't, don't apologize. This is important. This is important topics. This is not talking about what hairstyle the latest daytime stars are wearing, you know?
Right.
This is a lot more important. This is real stuff.
Yeah.
Very real. Very real.
And I think it's the proper use to enlighten folks. I mean, I think this is the proper use of that word celebrity that I don't understand what it is. But if I were a celebrity, that would be my purpose, is to use this platform to get some information and some help out to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yes, but I see on Twitter there's a lot of fans who don't like Teresa. I mean, they don't understand her. And people like Rose and yourself and all of us, we know Teresa's. We know girls who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys talking gives a perspective to what Teresa's gone through and what her mother's gone through and what Shane has gone through. And I think people need to hear that. I mean, yeah, Teresa just wasn't born bad or misbehaving. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why she acts this way. There's a reason why she uses drugs. And people need to know that.
Yeah, I mean, with Shane being gone so much, Teresa had to, you know, Kimberly had to raise her as mother and father, and so she looks at her dad as if he's perfect, and she played the two against each other, and ended up in trouble because Kimberly also had two other kids she had to pay attention to. She couldn't just pay attention to one, and so the more she got into trouble, the more Kimberly had to strain to take care of one, whereas she had three, you know? So, I mean, I totally relate having four. You know? I totally relate.
Well, you're right. I'm glad we opened the conversation. You know, they say, there's an old saying, what comes up is on its way out. It has to come up first. So the fact that the subject is coming up naturally, it tells me that there's a need for it. And, you know, you're right. There are a lot of Teresas out there with the drug problem that we have nowadays and the teen suicides that we're having. You know, suicide outnumbers the top causes of death in this country. Suicide outnumbers homicides. So we have a problem.
And it scares me to death.
It starts with stuff like this. This is where it begins. So we need to talk about it. And we need to de-guilt, get the guilt off the moms. My God, if I could do anything for anybody, it would save them the trip of living through needless, unearned guilt. Okay,
I'll have to get you on Twitter for DMs so that I can start talking to you because I got a lot of guilt there.
Well, just, you know, it's like, get off your case and on your side, moms. You're doing a great job. If you need somebody to pat you on the back, I'll do it. Because I know sometimes you can't do it yourself.
Okay.
And, so there you go.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Oh, yeah. This was so much fun, Patsy. I'm so glad to have been able to talk to you. And
I am too.
just
you girls are wonderful. Thank you for the good work you do. You really do a great job. Thank you.
Thanks, and good luck on your movie.
Thanks, Patsy.
All right, I'll keep you posted.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
You do that.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Take care, girls. Good night,
bye.
Everybody.
Good night.
Good night.